Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we are wrapping up our Lum and Abner series with two fun shows. Lum and Abner are always interested in a business opportunity, and in this first show they open a collections agency. Of course, turning a profit is not so easy. Enjoy Lum and Abner. Collection Agency, first broadcast January 30th, 1949 on CBS.
The Lum and Abner Show on the air for Frigidaire. Frigidaire, a division of General Motors, presents a brand new comedy show starring Lum and Abner.
Lum, you say you're going to start a what?
A collection agency.
What in the world is a collection agency?
Why, that's something that tracks you down no matter where you are, finds out how much money you've got no matter where you've hid it, and then takes most of it away from you.
Oh. I'm married to one of them.
No, Abner, a collection agency makes a regular business out of getting money out of you.
That's my woman, Elizabeth.
No, now, look.
I believe that woman has regular office hours for going through my pants pocket.
Yeah, well, look.
All that woman thinks about is money. Always asks me for $1, $3, $5.
Well, what does she do with all that money?
I don't know. I never give her any.
Yeah, well, now, here's how the collection agency works. We go around looking for bad debt, see?
Lord, we got enough of them without going around looking for them.
Well, these are other folks' bad debts.
Oh.
And we'll collect the money if they'll give us half.
Huh.
That way we can make enough to afford to have somebody collect our bad debts. And that way we can afford to start paying ourselves some wages. And then the first thing you know...
Yeah?
We'll be in good enough shape to apply for unemployment insurance.
America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Yes, any way you look at it, America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Number one in popularity, for more Frigidaire refrigerators serve in more American homes than any other make. Number one in thrilling new advantages, as you can see for yourself at any Frigidaire dealers. And number one in dependability. For Frigidaire refrigerators are made only by General Motors. And this association of experience, of skill with skill, is your guarantee of lasting satisfaction. So when it comes to a new refrigerator for your home, remember this. The first name you think of is the right one to buy. Frigidaire, America's number one refrigerator.
Well, aye, Granny's Abner, we're in business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at these handbills I had printed up. How do you like that name?
Trace 'em, chase 'em, and lace 'em collection agency.
Yeah, and take a gander at that slogan.
We got what it takes to take what you got.
Oh, I tell you, with all the unpaid bills in the world, we ought to get to be millionaires.
We will.
Well, thousandaires, anyway.
Well, I'm sure glad to hear that. I'm getting awful tired of being a little old nickel and dime heir.
Of course, now, don't expect miracles to happen. Don't expect to get rich overnight.
No.
Might take 4 or 5 days.
There's a catch to everything, ain't there?
But I think if we put our heads to it and... Wait, there comes Sister Simpson. Maybe she'll be our first customer.
I doubt if anybody ever got away from that boarding house of hers without paying their bill. She's got an eye like an eagle. Come to think of it, she looks like an eagle.
Mind out. Well, howdy, Sister Simpson.
Howdy, Lum. Howdy, Abner. How is your woman?
Oh, tolerably.
See, we're in the collection business now, Sister Simpson. Is there any man that owes you money that you'd like us to track down for you?
Well, yes, I'd love for you to track down a man for me. And I don't care if he owes me any money or not.
Yeah, I mean some outstanding bill.
Bill, George, Fred, I don't care what. You don't have to be particular outstanding, neither.
No, I mean a bill like where they owe you money.
Oh, sure, you mean Bill Tatterson.
Who?
That low-down varmint stayed at the boarding house 6 weeks and never paid me one red cent.
Well, now, we're getting someplace. What'd this feller look like?
Tall, good-looking. Oh, my, he was good-looking.
Well, we don't care about that.
And eyes. He had the prettiest eyes I ever saw on anything outside of a bull moose.
Yeah, but look, Sister Simpson.
I still recollect how he used to put his big, strong arms around me every time he wanted to borrow another $5.
Yeah, well, look, just tell us where he's at, and I, grannies, we'll get your money if we have to beat it out of him.
See here, Lum Eddards, if you lay one hand on him, I'll whop you to pieces.
Huh?
And after this, you just mind your own business, see?
Well, Abner, the feminine female mind is too hard for the human mind to figure out, you know it.
Yeah. If you think she was hard to figure out, look who's coming up there now. Ben Withers.
Oh, for pity's sakes. Well, we'll just tell him to leave. Tell him we're busy.
Fat lot of good that'll do. He never listens to nothing you say. No matter what you ask him, he just says, fine.
Hello.
Say, Ben, I hate to rush you out of here, but we're awful busy right now.
Right. Say, I wonder if you fellas could collect the $100 debt for me.
Oh, well, set right down, Ben, old boy.
Yeah, proud to see you, old kid, old friend.
Yeah, who's the party you want us to collect this bill from?
Yes. And he lives in Mount 80.
Yeah, but what's his name?
Love. You'll make a good bill collector. You're so persistent.
Yeah, but what's this feller's name?
Fine.
Look, Ben, if you don't tell me his name, I'm going to whop you on.
I just told you. Harold W. Fine. F-E-I-N. Right?
Oh, I see. Well, you reckon we'll have much trouble getting this $100 from Harold?
I would say yes. He's dead.
Law, maybe you better track this one down by yourself.
Track who down, Abner?
Fine.
Well, that won't be necessary. You see, his estate now owes me the money.
Oh, well, that's better. Now, who do we see about the estate?
Fine.
I thought you said he was dead.
Who?
Fine.
Mom, I don't see why you're so happy over a thing like that. After all, Harold was a friend of mine.
Well, Ben, I never said he wasn't.
I lent Harold that $100 so he could drop what he was doing and take up something more important.
What was he doing?
He was a bum.
I ought to have better sense than to ask this, but what did he take up?
Pinhead writing.
Huh?
Harold rented an office and spent the next 6 years of his life trying to learn how to write the Constitution of the United States on the head of a pin.
Couldn't afford writing paper, huh?
And finally, after thousands of failures, he succeeded in getting the whole Constitution and the amendments on the pinhead on February 15th, 1933.
Well, good for Harold.
And then, on February 16th, Congress passed another amendment.
Oh, that poor Harold. Bless his heart. Bless his little heart.
Well, what did Harold do then, Ben?
Well, he took up skywriting. And that's when, well, it probably never would have happened if he hadn't been so conscientious.
Conscientious?
Yes, he stepped out of his plane to erase a word he misspelled.
Shame. Well, now you say the estate owes you the money. Who's in charge of that?
A popular Mount 80 club man, Derwood Zinkafoos.
I knowed we'd work back to the Zinkafooses somewhere.
All right, we'll go see Mr. Zinkafoos. Now, our fee, by the way, is half of what we collect.
Take whatever you want. I don't care, just so I get my $100.
Well, wait, Ben. The only way you can get back a full $100 is for you to pay us our $50 fee right now.
Yes. Well, that makes sense.
It does.
I'll go and try to dig up $50. That is, if I can remember where I buried it. Come on.
Yeah, how do you like that, Abner? We've made $50 already.
Yeah, I believe I'll take my half and buy Elizabeth a fur mackinaw.
Now, wait, long as we're going to have to travel around, we better go to the county seat and buy ourselves a used car.
A used car?
Yeah, and if we can't afford that, we'll get a new one. Oh. Come on, let's go.
Doggies, they sure got a lot of used car lots here at the county seat.
Yeah, but how do we pick out a good, reliable one?
Well, there's one, Giggling George Lyon over there.
Mm-hmm.
There's another in that sign says, Honest Janssen, the Smiling Norwegian.
Yeah, this one over here don't sound bad. Honest Gonzalez, the Laughing Mexican.
Yeah. How about that next one, Madman Kalua Kalua, the Howling Hawaiian?
Wait a minute. I believe here's the one we want. Just Plain Bill, a sane, dishonest American with no sense of humor.
Hey, maybe that's him coming over here now, Lum, with the derby hat, the cane, and that diamond stick pin.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. Put her there, mister. I'm just plain old Bill.
Well, howdy do. I'm just plain old Lum Eddards.
I'm just plain old.
Well, sir, man, I just am mighty plain proud to see you. What kind of a little old plain car can just plain Bill fix you up with?
Well, we'd like one that's...
Just plain cheap.
I see. Well, now, I have just the car for you. It's only a few $100s.
Well, that's for us.
Over the list price. This car is 12 years old, but it was only driven by a dear, sweet, little old lady. She drove the car 12 years and never had a wreck.
You mean she drove that wreck 12 years and never had a car?
Well, the only time she used it was to drive to church and back.
Is that all? Well, the speedometer shows over 90,000 miles. What church did she belong to?
The First Baptist Church of Nome, Alaska.
Well, I'm afraid that's a little out of our price range.
Well, take a look at this beauty then. A late 1926 Essex. You know, I don't show this car to everybody.
You know, I don't blame you.
Why, this car still has the original paint.
Where?
On the dashboard. And it still has the original spark plugs, rings, and carburetor.
No.
Just look for yourself. They're all in a sack under the back seat. This little beauty is only
$900. $900? Is that delivered here?
Certainly it's delivered. It has to be. Can't run on his own power.
Well, I'm afraid that's still out of our price range.
Oh, wait. I have exactly what you want. You see this beauty over here? This is the very car that the president rode in during the inauguration parade.
The president rode in that?
Absolutely. And so did Mrs. McKinley.
Wonder if Miss Truman knows about that.
Well, how much is this little beauty?
$250.
$250 for that old thing?
Well, that includes extra wicks for the headlights.
Well, you're still a little high for us. To be right honest, all we got is $50 cash.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you. Give me the 50 and sign a note for 100, and I'll see that you ride out of here in style.
Well, aye, grannies, that's fair enough. It's a deal. What car do we get?
Do you see that big, shiny Cadillac over there?
Yeah.
Well, right behind it's a motor scooter with a sidecar.
Oh.
Take it, my friend, and happy journey.
Come on, Abner, jump on the scooter. We got to get on our way to Mount Ida. What are you just standing there staring for?
Oh, I was just thinking, Lon, we ought to give ourselves some names like them used car dealers does. I could be Addle Abner and you could be Looney Lum. And then we could put up a bunch of signs,
well,
you know.
Well, I'll be dead blame. There comes Mr. Niles. Reckon what he's doing at the county seat.
Well, let's get going. If he starts telling us about them frigid air products, we never will get out of here.
Well, looks like you're going someplace, Lum.
Yeah, a little business trip over to Mount Ida.
You going too, Mr. Peabody?
Adel Abner's her name.
Adel Abner?
Yeah.
When did that start?
Oh, that's just a crazy idea that Abner's got. He got carried away by them used car dealers, and now he wants us to do a lot of advertising, put up signs and all that junk.
Well, the advertising, the signs, I go for. Yes, sir, I can see those beautiful signs now.
You can? Where?
Well, in my mind.
Oh.
Get this. Now on display, the amazing Frigidaire automatic washer. Only washer with live water action and rapid dry spin. Only automatic washer with all porcelain finish, inside and out. And here's another. Learn how Frigidaire's unique live water action gets clothes really clean, safely, with rolling currents of water.
That's a stuff.
Here's another sign that'll really get them.
Sick of.
It says, ask about Frigidaire's rapid dry spin.
Go so.
Twice as fast as most other washers. Clothes come out really damp dry, easy to handle, ready to iron sooner.
Give it to him, Mr. Knopf. Read some more of them signs. I love them.
All right. Here's another one. It says, Frigidaire, the fully automatic washer. All you do is put in clothes and soap. Your hands need never be in water. See a free demonstration of the amazing Frigidaire automatic washer. Own it for as little as...
What's the matter with you, loony lum?
Well, I'll tell you, Adel Abner, it's always funny to see a feller talking himself right into a mess of work.
Work?
Yep, you sold me, Mr. Niles. We'll expect you over to the store tomorrow night to paint all them signs there for us. Goodbye now, Mr. Windy Wendell. Mount Ida Trust Building. Well, I'm pretty sure this is the place where Ben said Mr. Zinkafoos has his office.
But don't go so fast, Long.
Well, I want to hurry up and collect that $100 he owes Ben. Abner, for pity's sake, straighten up.
Lom, I don't think I'll ever be able to straighten up again after riding all the way over here in that dad-blamed sidecar. Every time you hit a bump, I got a new set of teeth marks in my knees.
Stop complaining.
Facts is, it ain't even a sidecar. It's just a box. I don't see how the good humor man ever kept ice cream bars cold in that thing. I might not suffocate.
Yeah, let's see now. I believe Ben said his office was number 14. Yeah, there it is. Durwood Zinkafoos, attorney at law.
Yeah, what does that say underneath there? Member of Bar Association and Mount Ida Pyramid Club.
Yeah, Ben said he was a club man, I know. Come on, let's go on in.
Yes? What do you gentlemen wish?
I wish I'd back home in Pine Ridge.
I beg your pardon?
We want to see Mr. Zinkafoos, please, Mom. Is he in or is he off summers?
Both.
Huh?
He's in, and as near as I can tell, he's a little off, too. Go in that door, but be quiet. He's on the phone discussing a divorce case.
Yes, Mom.
Well, yes. Yes, I agree with what you say about your husband, but even so, I don't advise that you get a divorce. But, honey, we've been married for 20 years. Well, all right, then. But let me handle the case so I can give you the business. Or because I need the business. I mean, let it go. Goodbye. Well, how do you do?
Yeah, howdy. This here's my partner, Mr. Peabody.
Oh, yes. Accident case. What hit him, a truck?
No, you see.
Now, the shape he's in, we ought to be able to collect plenty.
Well, now, that's just what we want to do, collect $100.
$100? Well, that's a mere bag of shells. Or nuts. Or, care for a hazelnut?
No.
$100's nothing. I can get you $5,000. Now, let's get all the details. What happened after he ran you up on the sidewalk?
Well, first he hit me.
Abner, now. You never done that. Don't get so carried away. Look, he weren't in no accident. He just got in that shape from a sidecar.
A sidecar? Oh, they're dynamite. Ought to stick to lemon coat. Let me make some notes now. You say you were hit by the sidecar in the side street, or sideswiped by the streetcar. Yeah, the conductor was necking. He was in a nebulous, or inebriated. Oh, he was swacked, was he? Well, you've got a good strong case there, Mr. Pear Blossom.
Well, good for me.
Now, wait a minute. You've got this all mixed up, Mr. Zinkafoos. See, we're bill collectors.
Oh, that's a serious charge. I don't think I can get you out of that.
We don't want you to. We're just trying to collect $100 that the estate of Howard W. Fine owes Ben Withers.
Ben Withers? Oh, I know him well. Yeah, we were boyhood schools together. Schoolboy stool pigeons together. We were in a reform school together. No, I mean that. Yes, I know him.
Well, Ben says you owe him the money, and we want it right now, see?
See?
$100, yeah. Ben with... Oh, yes, I remember that now. A man named Orlo Wormley owed the estate $100, so I made arrangements with him to owe the money directly to Ben Withers. You can collect it from Mr. Wormley.
Good. Now, where do we find him?
Yeah, his house is just two blocks off the main street.
Good.
Of Fort Smith.
Fort Smith? Well, that's a good 100 miles from here.
Back to the sidecar.
Just a minute. That'll be $5.
$5? What for?
For legal fleas. Legal fly. Eagle's feet. Chicken feet. Well, make it $2. That's all I ever get around here.
Granny's Fort Smith's a bigger town than I thought it was, Abner. This must be the house here. Come on.
Oh, my back. I just know I broke every vertigo in my spinal column's long. And if they ain't broke, they're froze.
Well, I told you not to load that box with ice. You can't make no money selling ice cream bars.
I made 35 cents coming over here.
Yeah, from me. Forget that. We got work to do. Now, we ain't going to take no prittle-prattle off of this Orlo Wormley. We're going to get that $100 and get back to Pine Ridge.
I'll never live that long.
Yes, what is it?
Oh, howdy do, ma'am. Are you Miss Orlo Wormley?
Who else would look like this?
Well, my name is Lum Eddard.
Oh, yes. And is this your little boy?
No, he's just bent over that away from riding in a sidecar.
What does she look like, Long?
Is Mr. Wormley at home?
I'll tell you. The reason Orlo never got down to the parole board last week is because he's sick in bed.
Well, we ain't from the parole board.
Oh. It's okay, Orlo. You can get up. All right, come on in.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sit down. What do you want to see Orlo about?
Well, we're from the Trace'em, Chase'em, and Lace'em collection agency.
As you were, Orlo!
And we're here to collect a bill.
Oh, dear. I wonder if you couldn't wait just one more day.
No, ma'am. We want the money right now.
But it's taken every cent we've got with dear old Grandma in the hospital. She stabbed herself with a knitting needle making socks for the missionary group.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes. And then Uncle Fred lost his janitor job over at the church.
Oh, what a pity.
And all he was doing was just taking up the collection. One night about 12.
Yeah, well, this bill is way overdue, and we want it settled right now.
Well, just a minute. I better get Orlo.
Oh, that poor woman. That poor...
Oh, now, Abner, don't get swayed by that. She's just putting that on. That's just a trick to fool bill collectors.
It is.
Don't listen to that. Be firm. Be tough.
Yes, sir.
Be hard-hearted.
When she comes back, I'll kick her.
Don't need to do that. Besides, we're going to talk to Orlo now. It'll be a heap better talking to a man. None of that crying.
Yeah, wait, there he comes right now.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Wormley?
Oh, how do you do? I'm so happy to meet you.
We've got this bill here, and we...
Yeah, I know. I intended to pay that last week, but we've had nothing but trouble.
Oh.
Hardly enough to eat. Yesterday, I threw the dog a bone. Papa broke his hip racing him for it.
Oh, that is a shame.
Now, Abner, don't start that again. He surely had accident insurance.
Yes, but the policy lapsed 2 days ago, and I couldn't afford to renew it because my dear old mother had some trouble with some books she was making. Took every cent I had to bail her out.
That's the saddest thing I ever hear.
Abner, recollect, be firm.
How can I be firm when this poor varmint. I just can't stand it no longer. I've got to sit down, love.
Well, go ahead, but you'll have to sit fast because the finance company will be here any minute to take the furniture away.
Lon, let's get out of here. This feller's breaking my heart.
Here, Mr. Wormley, here's a couple of dollars. Maybe that'll sort of help.
Oh, no, I hate to take it. Is this all you got?
Yeah. Come on, Abner.
Well, wait a minute, love. How about the bill?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Wormley, Durwood Zinkafoo said he transferred a $100 debt to you, so now you owe it to Ben Withers and we...
Ben Withers? Oh, well, shucks, I don't owe that no more. No, no. A man named William Calhoun owed me $100, so I just transferred the Ben Withers debt over to him.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Yeah, you'll find him at the county seat.
But look.
Come on up. Back to the ice cream wagon. Just made it.
Yeah, come on, Abner.
Huh?
Come on. There's the name on the mailbox right there. William Calhoun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's see if he's home.
Mom, I just can't make it up, or I just plain flat can't make it.
Come on. Maybe you can sell Mr. Calhoun an ice cream bar.
I ate the last one 30 miles ago. And just my luck, the stick was good for a free bar, and I'm out of them.
Now, look, Abner, we ain't going to listen to a thing this feller says. I'm going to start talking the second that door opens and then...
Well, start talking. Go ahead right now. Start talking.
Mr. Calhoun, we're from the Trace'em Chase'em...
Well, how's that plain little old scooter running?
Huh?
Well, I'll be just plain Bill.
Yes, sir. I'm mighty plain proud to see you again. And if anything's gone wrong with the scooter, just remember... The guarantee ran out yesterday.
Well, that ain't what we're here for. Mr. Orlo Wormley of Fort Smith said he transferred a $100 debt to you.
Well, yes, that's right, he did.
Well, we're collecting that bill, and we want it right now, see?
See.
All right, fine. Let's see now. I owe you $100, and you still owe me $100 on the scooter. So, that makes us all square.
Well, now, wait a minute.
So long, and... happy journey!
Well, how do you like that? Here we travel over 300 miles in a mechanized ice cream freezer to find out who owes Ben Withers that $100. And I grannies, it's us.
Lom, in that case, we better just get out of the collection business.
Get out?
Why, sure. We ain't got a chance in the world of ever collecting that money from us.
Yeah. It looks like the only thing to do is turn it over to a good, reliable collection agency.
Lom and Abner will be back in just a moment, but first, here is an important question. Wouldn't you like to own a refrigerator that's just the right type, just the right size for your family, your kitchen, your way of doing things? Then just see what you find at your Frigidaire dealers. Three different types of Frigidaire refrigerators, 9 models in all, and every one of these Frigidaire refrigerators is powered by the Meter Miser, simplest cold-making mechanism ever built.
Sure, Ben. We tracked down the party that owes you the money, all right.
Some deadbeats, no doubt. No doubt about it.
But before we tell you who it is, Ben, would you consider settling for a $150 motor scooter?
With 20 pounds of ice in it?
Yes, that sounds highly.
All right. The scooter's out in back of the store. It's all yours, and happy journey.
The new Lom and Abner Show is brought to you each week with the best wishes of your Frigidaire dealer and Frigidaire division of General Motors. manufactures a complete line of home appliances, air conditioners, and commercial refrigeration equipment. Wendell Niles speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, Lum and Abner decide to make history come alive by acting it out for the students of Pine Ridge. Of course, Lum and Abner have a rather unique view of history, especially with the help of comedian Zazu Pitts. This is the Lum and Abner Show, Pageant of History, first broadcast March 8th, 1950 on CBS.
The Lum and Abner Show! With your old friend Zazu Pitts, Andy Devine, music by Opie Pate, and starring Lum and Abner.
Say, Abner, can you come back here in the feed room a minute? I need your advice on something.
Why, sure, Lum. I'm all... Lum, Edders, what in the world is that thing you're wearing?
Now, this is what I wanted to ask your advice on. It's a swallowtail coat.
Oh. Well, my advice is to give the tails back to the swallers. Let the rest of it get back to Capistrano the best way it can. Where in the world did you get that coat from?
I'm surprised you don't remember it, Abner. I wore it when I was best man at your wedding to Elizabeth. Of course, it weren't so wrinkled then.
Neither was Elizabeth. No, because I'm glad she held up better than that coat there.
I thought it'd be a good idea if I wore this when I present my pageant of living history.
Yeah, you about... Your what?
My pageant of living history.
Oh.
See, I'm writing a pageant of the history of the world, and I'm putting it on Monday at the schoolhouse for the children.
So, because ain't they got enough trouble getting them young'uns to go to school now?
Well, that's the idea. See, the other night at the school board meeting, we was discussing why attendance was falling off at the school.
Well, you didn't have to have a meeting to figure that out. Any nitwit could have told you.
I'm sorry, Abner, but we never thought of asking you.
Thank you.
We know why the attendance has been falling off. School ain't entertaining enough for the modern child. It can't compete with movies and radio and comic books.
Yeah, kids sure start reading them comic books young. Elizabeth's little nephew, Egbert, you know, he started reading Superman when he was a year old, and he never stopped till he began walking.
Well, how old was he then?
12.
For goodness sake, why didn't he walk till he was 12?
He never tried. He'd been reading Superman so long, he thought he was supposed to fly. It was just downright pitiful to watch that little fella standing on the edge of his crib, flapping his arms and trying to take off. Well, he did take off a couple of times. Run in.
Well, comic books ain't the only thing that's interfering with education. There's television, too.
Well, we ain't got that in Pine Ridge yet.
No, but they got it in Little Rock. Some of Esri's kin folks bought a set, and his cousin Ludlow won't do nothing but look at Milton Berle. Just loves Milton Berle.
Well.
It's been affecting his schoolwork, too.
It has, huh?
Oh, yeah. He won't get up in class and recite, less than his mother sitting in the front row applauding. While the other kids is out playing marbles and baseball, all Ludlow does is walk around the house telling old jokes. You gotta laugh at him, too.
Well, maybe if he didn't laugh, it'd discourage him.
No, that just makes it worse. Then he comes in wearing funny costumes.
Well, it weren't like that when we went to school.
I'll tell you what. They didn't pamper us.
Oh, no.
I recollect I used to get up every day at 4 a.m. and milk 17 cows before I went to school.
That didn't hurt you, no.
No, except for the first couple of hours, I couldn't hold a fountain pen in my hand without squirting ink all over.
Well, Lon, what's all this got to do with this pageant that you're putting on?
Well, this pageant is my way of competing with these outside influences.
Oh.
The kids ain't been studying their history, so I'm dramatizing it so they'll think they're being entertained while actually they're learning.
You think it'll work?
Of course. The old theory of putting the castor oil in orange juice so you don't notice the taste.
Huh.
history is the castor oil and my pageant is the orange juice. It's going to have a great effect on the younger generation.
It sure is. They're going to grow up loving castor oil and hating orange juice.
Well, Abner, I finally finished writing my pageant of living history.
Well, I dog as long the school board ought to give you a vote of thanks for what you're doing.
Oh, it ain't nothing.
Well, I know, but they ought to give you a vote of thanks anyway.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure the best way to put it on. Maybe I'll do it like Cecil B. DeMille.
Cecil B. DeMille? Who's she?
It ain't a she, it's a him, Cecily, a him.
How's it going?
How does what go?
This hymn, Cecil B. DeMille. Sing it for me, Long.
Cecil B. DeMille's a man. He's the fellow that puts on them big spectacles.
What's the matter? Is you nearsighted?
Well, of course not.
Well, what's he put on them big spectacles for?
I don't mean them kind of spectacles. I'm talking about movie spectacles.
You mean he just wears them when he goes to the picture show?
He don't wear them. They're up on the screen.
Well, that's handy for him, but don't it make it hard for the other people to see the picture?
Oh, see.
It might not be the right glasses for him. Give him eye strain. Make him squint.
That's right.
Doggett, he's giving everybody in the theater a headache.
Stop acting like an idiot. I'm trying to tell you, Cecil B. DeMille's a Hollywood producer that makes them big pictures. They call them spectacles because they're spectacular.
Oh.
He just got through shooting Samson and Delilah.
Doggy, he is nearsighted, isn't he?
That's the name of the picture. Oh. It's like this pageant of mine, a big historical thing.
Well, who's going to be in it?
Well, I ain't figured that out yet. I got a lot of parts to cast. See, it starts out with the caveman, and I got to get somebody to play that.
What's he supposed to look like?
Well, he's got to have a low forehead, sort of a jutting jaw, and look kind of stupid.
Hello? Oh. Now, there's typecasting if I ever seen it.
How are you, Opie?
Well, I don't feel so good today. I went to the movies last night with my girlfriend, Laverne Deadbolt, and gee whiz, you know, I had the hardest time putting my arm around that gal.
Well, why wouldn't she let you?
Well, you see, I was sitting downstairs, and she was sitting in the balcony.
Well, Opie, how can you take a girl to a show and let her sit in the balcony?
Because he didn't have enough money for two downstairs, see?
Say you let Laverne pay for the tickets.
Why not? She's got a better job than I have. Laverne makes $16 a week working in a car wash.
Car wash? What does she do there?
Well, she's a left front fender flusher. A year ago, she started in as a back bottom bumper buffer.
She sure must have applied herself.
Yeah.
Now, what's she doing now?
Oh, she's really a success now. She's a classy, lassy, chassy checker.
Opie, if you can forget Laverne for a minute, I want to ask you something. How'd you like to take part in this history pageant I'm putting on at the schoolhouse?
Gee willikers, that sounds keen. What part do you want me to play, Lum?
Caveman. It ain't hard, Opie. All you got to do is walk on the stage with a club and a leopard skin.
But, Lum, I ain't got no leopard skin.
We can paint some spots on you.
Don't worry about it. I'll get you one summer.
Yeah. Where are you going to get it, Cecil?
Well, I'll... Maybe I can... Granny, where am I going to get it? Come to think of it, where am I going to get costumes for everybody else in the pageant? They all got to be dressed for their part.
Hey, Lump, maybe you could just narrow the history of the world down to Lady Godiva and let it go at that.
Abner, this is for school kids. I can't do Lady Godiva.
Well, why not? Kids love horses.
Oh, this is awful. I was so busy writing the pageant, I plumb forgot about the costume. I guess I'm going to have to just call it off.
Lum, I know where you might get some.
Where?
Well, there was a carnival over at the county seat a couple of weeks ago. Couldn't pay the bill, so the sheriff kept his stuff. I bet he'd loan it to you if you ask him.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'll call him up right now. Opie, I've got to hand it to you. You've got a brain.
Well, just like my Aunt Minnie used to say, it's the little things that count.
Minnie's, I wonder where that Opie is. I sent him to the county seat early this morning to pick up the carnival stuff, and he ain't back yet.
Well, he'd better hurry. That pageant's tomorrow, ain't it?
Yeah, I'm going to have some costume fittings tonight.
Hey, wait a minute, Lum. Maybe that's him coming up on the front porch there.
You!
No, that's Zazu Pitt.
Sound like a tree.
I've been avoiding her all week, so I don't have to let her be in the pageant. Hello, Miss Pitt.
Oh, Mr. Edwards, I'll come right to the point. What do I have to do to get a part for myself?
Part? Oh, just give us a serial number and we'll see if we got it in stock.
Mr. Peabody.
Of course, for something major like a transmission, we might have to send clean to Detroit first.
Mr. Peabody, I'm talking about a part in the pageant.
Oh, thought you
Everybody were. Else in town has been given one. Certainly, I must fit into the history of the world somewhere.
Oh, you do. You must. We just ain't figured out where. I mean, I just ain't figured out a part that fits your personality and looks.
Ain't you gonna have no dinosaurs?
Mr. Peabody, it might interest you to know that I have nothing but contempt for your stupidity.
Yeah? Well, it might interest you to know that I have nothing but stupidity for your contempt. Guess we come out even on that.
Oh, and Mr. Edwards, if I may make a suggestion... Perhaps you and I could portray some of the great lovers of history, like Caesar and Cleopatra.
No, I don't think so.
Napoleon and Josephine?
No, Miss Pitt. This is for children.
How about Popeye and Olive Oil?
You know, Mr. Edwards, sometimes I'm sorry I didn't live in the Middle Ages.
Sometimes I ain't sure you didn't.
In those days, there were so many more men than women.
Well, Miss Pitts, I was just reading in the paper that in the United States, there are two men for every woman.
Two men for every woman?
That's right.
Well, how do you like that? Some sneak has four.
Oh, maybe it ain't so bad. Have you run your trap line recently?
Yeah.
You might have a good haul there, not knowing.
Oh, there's the phone.
Hello. Hello, Lump. This is Opie.
Opie, where are you?
In a telephone booth.
Well, what about the truck?
Oh, that's outside. There ain't room in here for both of us.
I mean, haven't you got it loaded yet?
No, I've been sorting out all the stuff in the carnival I thought you'd want, and it's taking a very long time.
Well, I can do that myself. Just throw everything in the truck and get back here.
Okay. Say, Lump, before I hang up, there's something I want to say.
All right, what is it?
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Granny.
Oh, Mr. Edwards, I think I'll be running along now. I hope you'll be able to find a part for me to play.
Hey, wait a minute. I got an idea who you ought to play. It's perfect. Fits you to a T.
Oh, that's wonderful. Who is it?
John L. Lewis.
John L. Lewis? I don't see how that fits me.
Well, he couldn't get a man to go near the pits either.
Abner, look out the window and see if you can see Opie.
Dog, it's almost dark out. There's a big cloud blotting out the moon. Hey, now there's something blotting out the cloud. Lon, do you think it's an eclipse?
Hiya, fellas.
Oh, no. Just Andy Devine.
Yeah, hi, Andy.
Hi, Skinny.
Skinny? Then Abner, you notice.
Notice what?
My waistline.
Well, how can I help noticing it? You're the only fella I know that comes in the room belt buckle first.
No, I mean that I've taken off some weight. Look at my belt.
Well, it reminds me of Boulder Dam. talk can so little, hold back so much.
Andy, if your measurements has changed, we better get them. I want to be sure your costume fits for the pageant.
Now, Lem, there ain't no sense of measuring me because I ain't going to wear that costume.
But you got to. You're supposed to be Mark Anthony.
I ain't going to run on no stage with nothing on but a big white sheet. Now, how'll it look?
Like an unmade feather bed.
You see there, Abner's even making fun of me. I ain't gonna do it.
But, Andy, don't you want to help the school children with their education?
Oh, sure, but I don't believe in all these fancy frills. Well, when I went to school, we just had one teacher, Mrs. Creeley. She taught us arithmetic, spelling, literature, grammar, and gym. I can see her now standing there doing short division in her long gym bloomers. And if time ran short, she'd combine Shakespeare and basketball. Why, one day she had Hamlet jumping center with the Merchant of Venice.
Andy, we'll see what we can do as soon as Opie gets here with the costume. Wait a minute, I believe that's him now.
Hello?
Opie, am I glad to see you. Have you got all of the stuff from the carnival?
Yep, it's in the truck outside.
Well, go bring it. What was that?
Sounded like a lion. Well, it wasn't the cry of the wild goose.
You mean that was a lion?
No, that was an elephant.
Opie, where did them animals come from?
They were with the stuff at the carnival.
Well, why did you bring them here?
You said to throw everything in the truck.
That is, I didn't mean everything.
Well, I left the Ferris wheel.
Well, what about the costume?
Oh, they're out in the truck, too.
Good.
Well, I don't know if it's good or not. You see, a black cat's been sitting on them with a white stripe down inside.
Oh, gosh, now, where did he come from?
I put him there. I saw him running around the animal cages, so I figured he was a professional member of the carnival. But I was wrong. He turned out to be a rank amateur.
Opie, couldn't you tell the difference? Didn't you notice anything?
Well, not until I got out on the road and another car started giving me the right of way. Funny thing, and I wasn't even blowing my horn.
My goodness, what am I going to do?
Well, you can take all them animals back.
Yeah, but what about the costumes? They can't use them. Why, the students would get one whiff of them, and what would they say about my pageant?
Oh, I don't think it'd make no difference, Lon. They'd have said it anyway.
Now here's Opie Case, his clarinet and his orchestra, and Jazz Me Blue.
Simmer down. Hey, I just wanted to tell you the kids is all in the assembly hall, and we can start the pageant any time now. Is everybody here? Andy?
I'm here.
Zazu?
Here.
Opie? Where's Opie?
Out there in his truck.
Say, Mom, I still don't know how we're going to do this pageant without no costume.
I told you, Andy, I'm going to stand on the side of the stage and narrate what's going on. And the kids can use their imagination.
Yeah, more than likely use their bean shooters.
Now, don't worry about it. I'll go out there now and get things started. Have her be ready to pull the curtain.
Any old time, Buster.
Well, thank you, children. Thank you. Now, a lot of you has been complaining that reading history is the dullest thing you can do. Well, when you get done seeing this pageant, you're going to change your mind. Well, now, if the school orchestra will give us some music, we present a pageant of living history. Scene one, the caveman. Here we see two cavemen.
Ugh.
They were called cavemen because they lived in caves. The cavemen didn't have none of the finer things in life, such as televisions, garbage disposals, or mixmasters. In fact, is all they did all day was sit around bashing each other on the heads with rocks.
Ugh.
This gave the caveman his low forehead and his jutting jaw. His whole conversation consisted of nothing but
ugh.
You see how monotonous this can get. So they moved to a better neighborhood, Egypt. The Egyptians lived in houses called Sphinx. It was very progressive. Fact is, it was them that started the ancient pyramid club. The queen of Egypt was Cleopatra. She spent most of her time barging up and down the Nile and playing pharaoh. Scene two of our pageant takes place on Cleopatra's barge. She's waiting for her boyfriend, Mark Antony, who she's going to poison.
Slave, you called your royal honesty?
Has Mr. Antony arrived yet?
No, ma'am. He's still at the Court of Human Relations.
I do wish he'd hurry.
Yeah, his drink is getting warm. You want me to throw another asp in it?
Never mind. He said he was going to stab Caesar and hurry right over. What time is it?
The hourglass just struck one. Wait, I believe that's him now.
Hail! Oh, beautiful Cleopatra, hail! Thrice hail!
Doggies, he sounds like a Roman cross warning.
Abner, cut out the remarks.
I'm sorry I'm late, my beautiful rose petal.
Now, just a minute. Rack them up and break again now.
Try that over again, Andy.
I'm sorry I'm late, my beautiful rose petal.
That's better.
But the savage took longer than I expected.
A what?
Caesar dead.
Yay, verily. He looked up into my eyes and said, "Et tu, Brutus?"
No wonder it took so long. They're having lunch together.
Glad you did it.
Yay, and now, Cleopatra, my love, you and me can rule the world together.
There's a combination.
Yes, let's toast our alliance. Here's your glass.
Thanks. Wait a minute. This drink has a head on it.
There are many drinks that have a head on them.
With two beady eyes?
Oh, that. That's a stuffed olive.
Well, it kept sticking its pomelo out of it.
You're not afraid of Cleopatra, are you, kiddo?
Well?
Then bottoms up.
Bottoms up. Oh!
Hey, Your Majesty, what happened? What happened to Mr. Anthony?
He died.
But how?
The strangest way, bottoms up.
We now turn the clock of history forward 2,000 years.
So, because that's nearly a whole century.
Nero played a hot fiddle while Rome burned. Marco invented polo. However, America hadn't been discovered yet, which brings us to Columbus. Scene 3, the discovery of America. Columbus was born in Italy in a little house in Genoa. This house has long since been torn down to make way for a vacant lot. As a boy, he used to walk around all day saying,
"The world is round, the world is round, the world is round."
Opie, will you be quiet, and would you mind standing downwind a little? Columbus passed from boyhood to manhood and then on into adolescence. Never having forgotten his dream, he went to the court of Spain and said to the queen,
"Queen Isabella, buy me some ships and I'll find a new route to China."
So the queen hawked her jewels, and a few months later, Columbus set sail in 3 small Spanish doubloons. Queen Isabella gave him a farewell party, and when he left Spain, he was really sailing. We now find him summers in the Atlantic.
We've been sailing
3 months.
Well, this must be the original slow boat to China.
But they soon sighted land, America. Out from the shore paddled red-skinned natives.
Ugh.
You can see they were direct descendants of the cavemen.
Captain, ask them savages where we can buy something to eat.
Okay, say, where can we buy some groceries, Buster?
No can buy them nothing today. Stores all closing. Big holiday.
What holiday?
Columbus Day.
And so America was discovered. And the little band who braved the tempest of the sea did not do so in vain. For through their efforts, America gave the word, Lend-Lease.
Applestick lifesavers with a hole in the middle.
1890 French dressing.
The Hudson you step down into.
Tyrone reducing pill.
And Kool-Aid bubblegum.
The 19th century, the time of the Industrial Revolution. Man is busy making machines. James Watt invents the steam engine. This led to many other inventions, including 4-way coal tablets. In America, the country was starting to expand. Settlers traveled across the plains in covered wagons. Towns sprung up overnight. Here we see 2 pioneers reenacting a typical scene.
Well, this looks like a nice place. You want to settle here, Alba?
Hell, it's all right with me, Kirk.
And thus was founded the city of Albuquerque. Many more towns was founded, and the country grew, and so did the world. We had 2 world wars in the space of 20 years, and now it's 1950. 1950 with our skyscrapers, jet planes, family autos that go 100 miles an hour, guided missiles, atom bombs, hydrogen bombs. Let's leave history for a moment and look into the future. The H-bomb has been dropped. The world lies in complete ruin. Everything obliterated. Only 2 monkeys remain sitting on a smoldering hilltop. One monkey says to the other,
"Just look at that mess. Not a human being left."
Yeah. Now the two of us monkeys have the whole thing to start over again.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.